She sells seashells by the seashore. She sells seashells by the seashore. She sells seashells by the seashore. She sells seashells. She sells seashells by the seashore. See, that's what I get for trying to go too fast, too early in the morning. I've not even had a full cup of coffee yet. Seashells. She sells seashells. She sells seashells by the seashore. Meanwhile, the Messiah puts his pants on two legs at a time because he is Hussein Obama, and he was born without birth certificate. You can scream and shout with all your might. I don't have enough energy yet to do the, you know, scream, shout, whine, cry part. Hang on. A little more coffee, and I'm going to be okay. Because you can't shove your head up your ass. That part's still there. Yep. Or there it is. I think we've just laid out the possible options. I think that either you are wrong or I am right. Or it could be both of those. It could be both of those because I am the great one himself. I have never been wrong. I am not wrong. I will never be wrong. I am always right. And this right here, this is Stating the Obvious, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys. Oh yeah, destroys. Oh god, yes, I love the sound of explosions in the morning. Yes, only thing better than explosions is machine gun fire. If you have not fired an M60 machine gun in your life, you have not lived yet, let me tell you what. Today is December the 30th, 2012. We survived the Mayan end of the world. We're about to roll into 2013. It's, Randy, what time is it? It's 7:20 in the morning, Sunday morning. Randy's pissed off because I made her come in and do recording. In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. I'm still drinking coffee. Still smoking my Vaporsmith's electronic cigarette. Trying to wake up, but the great thing about doing this podcast, especially this one today, is I don't even need to be awake to do this. Rush Limbaugh always claims that he can do his show with half his brain tied behind his back. I can defeat Rush Limbaugh and Al Franken both at the same time while I'm asleep. Because when you're an anarcho-capitalist, it's really that easy. Everything boils down to property rights and non-aggression principle. And everything else is just people making noise, trying to distract you. What else do I need to tell them, Randy? Oh, yes, the website, CYNLIBSOC.com. That's the, for those of you who are stupid, went to public education, those are the first three letters of the word cynical, libertarian, and society. I didn't want to type in cynicallibertariansociety.com every time I wanted to look at my fantastic website. It's actually not that fantastic. It's just there to distribute the podcast mostly. I keep thinking I should write blog posts, but this is way more fun. And you know, I used to do Stating the Obvious in written form. And the reason I started doing a podcast originally is because, at least for me, sarcasm and humor and irony and stuff like that, I have a hard time translating those into text. And so when I would write something, you know, in text, like, all politicians should die, because there's no voice, there's no inflection, all the things you're hearing right now in my voice don't go with that. So it kind of has to be explained, am I trying to be sarcastic, or, you know, am I being serious, or whatever. Whereas here, of course, in an audio podcast, I can utilize my voice, even at 7:23 now. Yes. You know, Randy, if I just ramble long enough, the podcast will be over, and I won't have to say anything of substance. Of course, a lot of people out there are saying, what the fuck, you never say anything of substance anyhow. But it's okay. I'm all right with that. Hang on. Let me take another drink of coffee. All right. Pardon me. That was me coughing away from the microphone, though. Working on a little mic technique there, trying to get my shit down. All right. Let's... Just posture. Nice drink of water. All right, today, I promised I was going to do this. I'm doing it. See, every once in a while, I come through. Today, I want to talk about the book I am reading. Is a book called Cowards by Glenn Beck, our boy Glenn Beck, who was the darling of Fox News. Now, I've not researched this to find out, but what I heard is that he was the darling of Fox News. That's not up for grabs. Then he left Fox News. Now, the version I heard, which I have not confirmed through any kind of research, is that he left Fox News because Fox News invited him to leave, also known as firing people, or as we say in the industry, giving somebody an opportunity to do something better somewhere else. He was asked to leave Fox News because he started talking about the Federal Reserve in negative ways. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. And Glenn Beck is by Penn Jillette, not Penn Teller. Penn Jillette's admission, Glenn Beck and Penn Jillette are good friends. And because I read this in Penn Jillette's book, what was it? Something about God, one of his atheist books. Anyhow, he has talked about Glenn Beck and how they're good friends, even though he thinks Glenn Beck is like a nutcase about some things, which everybody's a nutcase about something. So anyhow, I'm at the library. I saw this giant book sitting here. I'm going, wait, my left-wing commie library is actually buying a book by Glenn Beck? Wow, what the hell is going on here? So I grabbed it. I read it. And also, let me take a moment to just do my little plug for this bit is where I say that for those of you who are going, I don't agree with Glenn Beck. I would never read a book by him. I just want to remind you that's why you're stupid. Because you don't read books written by people you disagree with. That's why you're stupid. A while back, I know I talked about, I read the Bill O'Reilly book about Obama. I forget the name of it now, it doesn't matter, but I picked it up expecting it to be O'Reilly ripping Obama a new asshole, and the book was like 60% O'Reilly kissing Obama's ass and talking about what a great patriot he was, and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy and what did he do with Bill O'Reilly? This is not what I was looking for. So if you're an Obama humper, you should actually find that book and read it, because Bill O'Reilly kisses your messiah's ass for like 60% of the book. I'm not joking. I know you think I, because I'm trying to like trick you into reading it, because, you know, like being a neocon is like being homosexual. If one of them touches you, it's contagious and you'll get it on you or something. But see, like that would never, how do you translate that into writing and make it come over as sarcasm, right, Randy? I don't know either. What? Randy is saying I should get on with talking about the fucking book before we run out of time. What? How far are we into the show? Ah, Jesus Christ. All right. Short version. Read a fucking book written by somebody that you would normally that you would not normally listen to, talk to, read, whatever. It'll stimulate your mind a little bit. So Glenn Beck, he wrote this book, Cowards. There's a lot of shit in here he's wrong about. You know, basically all the God shit, the pledging allegiance to the flag, the need for the government, blah, blah, blah. But there's just some stuff in here that I want to touch. I haven't done like some kind of breakdown analysis. I think mostly I'm going to be talking about places where I agree with him. But that should not be interpreted as saying that I agree with everything in this book. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes it's fun to talk about the things you disagree with people and to rip on that. But other times it's fun and interesting to find common ground with people you disagree with and build on that. Okay, we are on page 8 over here. And this, Glenn Beck is writing about a book. And I probably need to get this on my reading list. It's called The Passing of the Great Race. That was me coughing again. Thank you. Excuse me. More coffee. All right. I don't see the author here. I'm not going to look for it. Oh, wait. Got it. Madison Grant. The whole podcast is going to be like this. It's going to be me going, ugh. All right. Madison Grant wrote a book called The Passing of the Great Race. And this book was, of course, loved by Adolf Hitler and by numerous American presidents. I do need to read this book. This is a quote from The Passing of the Great Race. Quote, "Mistaken regard for what are believed to be divine laws and a sentimental belief in the sanctity of human life tend to prevent both the elimination of defective infants and the sterilization of such adults as are themselves of no value to the community. The laws of nature require the obliteration of the unfit, and human life is valuable only when it is of use to the community or race. As the percentage of incompetence increases, the burden of their support will become ever more onerous until, at no distant date, society will, in self-defense, put a stop to the supply of feeble-minded and criminal children of weaklings. Unquote. Glenn Beck, I had to think a minute there to remember the name of the guy who wrote this book that I'm talking about. Glenn Beck, you know, is quoting that and talking about, see, these are the people that we're up against. You know, these are people who regard human life in utilitarian sense only. You know, if the unfit children should be killed and the adults who don't contribute should be killed because these people don't believe in sanctity of human life. You know, this is what we're up against. And here's the... Now, I don't disagree with... And I don't disagree with Glenn Beck's analysis. However, on another hand, this guy is exactly right. It all depends on how you're looking at things. Yeah, and this is one of the things I find interesting about left-wing statists is left-wing statists talk all this shit about evolution. You know, they're just this is one of the perpetual battles in the dichotomy of left-wing statist versus right-wing statist. Evolution versus creation. You know, the right-wing statists want us to all think God created us. The left-wing statists are all about evolution. So evolution is based on, you know, survival of the fittest. The best DNA gets passed on. It mutates over time, blah, blah, blah. But you ever notice, I mean, you know, Glenn Beck is trying to say, look, the left-wing statists want to kill off all the feeble people and want to kill off all the unfit infants and all this other stuff. Well, no, they don't. Because the feeble infants are the ones that are going to need medical care for their entire life. People like that are, you know, and the feeble adults, the adults that, as it says here, what is it? You know, the human life is valuable only when it is of use to the community or race. I mean, yeah, well, but like the people on welfare, and those are the people Glenn Beck is thinking, well, these people that are have no use are the people on welfare. That's what I think is going through his mind. From a left-wing liberal perspective, people that are of no use to their society in the sense that they cannot create value for their society and therefore have to go on welfare, those people are very valuable to left-wing Democrats. So Glenn Beck is trying to say, I think, that in this chapter, you know, the lefties want to kill off all the poor people and all this other stuff. And that's exactly wrong. It's the people, the only person who wants to kill off all the poor, well, shouldn't say kill off. The only person around here who wants evolution and natural selection to take its course is me. I don't want government welfare. I want people who can't provide for themselves and who are feeble and useless to society, not to be killed, but to just die off and not reproduce. The liberals love these people because that's their voting block. As I've said before, liberals breed their voters in the ghettos. You know, you make more babies, we'll give you a bigger welfare payment. Conservatives breed their voters in the church. You know, go forth and multiply. So while Glenn Beck is making the accusation that left-wing people, you know, think like this, I don't think they really do. The left wings, and like I said, you know, you get a baby that's born with Down syndrome and it's all messed up. I mean, that's like a poster child for liberalism. That kid and his adults will be getting government money to keep him alive for the rest of his life. The lefties don't want to kill that baby off. That's an absolute nonsense. The lefties want to keep that baby alive because that child, you know, is a poster child for government health care. This child would die if Obama didn't pass health care reform. You know, I mean, they love that shit. So I think Glenn Beck's a little bit off base on that one. Now, the second, this quote is two paragraphs. The second paragraph, I think, is dead straight on. Let me read this again. and I am certainly not the first person to make this prediction. As the percentage of incompetence increases, the burden of their support will become ever more onerous until, at no distant date, society will in self-defense put a stop to the supply of feeble-minded and criminal children of weaklings. I mean, at some point, the welfare system is going to collapse. I mean, it just is. You can't keep... you can keep making money out of nowhere. The government does. They print the stuff all the time. But I mean, at some point... And Ben Stone has talked about this as well. You know, at some point, all of this is going to start to collapse. And the government is just not going to be able to sustain all of the welfare payments and all of the, you know, payments for healthcare and the payments for the military-industrial complex and the payments going out to the agricultural complex and corporations, you know, and all the bank bailouts. And all the and all the military bases, and all the aircraft. At some point, this is going to start to collapse, and the government, the state, is going to have to make a decision. You know, what do we cut off first? And the thing that's going to be one of the first things that will be cut off is going to be the welfare, and you know, the people who are on the welfare are going to riot, and then the state is going to have to shoot them. I mean, it's just, this is the way it's going to happen. When you have people on welfare, they're completely dependent upon you for their existence. When you take away that welfare, you take away that money, they're going to get pissed off. I mean, you can't blame them. And when they get pissed off, you're going to have riots. And when you have riots, you're going to have to shoot them, because that's what the state does. It solves problems with violence. In this case, it's going to solve a problem it created with violence. So, I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that this is a good thing. I'm not endorsing this. I'm not saying it's wonderful. I'm saying it's going to fucking happen. All right, let me zip ahead. Page 35. What am I talking about here? Yes, okay. This was the part in the book where I started to get slightly irate. Imagine that. I just did a series of podcasts where I talked about how aggravated I get when Republicans try to call themselves libertarians. And in this book, Cowards by Glenn Beck, Glenn Beck tries to associate Republicans, well, conservatives, with libertarians. I'm like, oh my God, please just stop, Glenn, stop. I'm so, so tired of conservatives trying to call themselves libertarians, but what can you do? Well, you could smack all of them in the face with a wet towel or something, but wet towel, that's the best I got at 7:30 in the morning. Randy was commenting on the lameness of my joke. More coffee. Okay, so he has this part in here where he's talking about how libertarians and conservatives have so much in common, and oh, we're the same people, and you know, if you believe in God and country, you might not be a Republican, you might be a libertarian. I'm like, no, libertarians don't believe in country, and they may believe in God, but probably not the same God you believe in. Not the same interpretation. So anyhow, he has some short sections here entitled, for example, "You Can Love Israel and Be a Libertarian." Because he rants on about how, why is it that all these people hate Israel? Israel is the most wonderful country, blah, blah, blah. Look, Glenn. No, you cannot be a libertarian and support giving shit tons of money to Israel and supporting Israel while they kill other people. Now, just because you don't support giving Israel money and helping them to kill people doesn't mean you hate Israel or hate Jews, because conservatives and the neocons and Republicans who call themselves all these people are always playing the Israel card. You know, it's like the damn, that was a nice loud cough, sorry. The left-wing statist, the Liberal Democrat Party, they've got the racism card locked up. You cannot take that card away from them. The right wing, they've got the fucking anti-Semitic Israel card locked up. Anytime you disagree with a neocon, Whew, hold up, brain will start working any minute now. At least that's what I keep telling myself. You know, if you disagree with a neocon, well, you must hate Israel. You hate Jews. No, I just don't think we should be providing military and financial aid to Israel. Let Israel fucking take care of themselves. Let Israel and their neighbors find a way to get along without killing each other. How about that? Here's another part here. If you don't have to believe in the gold standard to be a libertarian. Then he goes on about how, oh, those nutty libertarians, they want a gold standard. We can't have a gold standard. That's not going to work. We've got to have government printed money. And of course, any good libertarian is going to tell you that there should be no type of standardized currency. The currency should be whatever people decide it is. I may be willing to accept gold in trade for my services. Maybe I don't. Maybe I only take silver. Maybe I only take vegetables and meat and eggs. You know, maybe I only barter. You know, in a libertarian society, there would be no gold. There would be no gold standard. There would be no fiat currency. People would be able to barter, trade, use this currency, anything they wanted. If somebody came along and, say, for example, minted a bunch of gold coins, and then the people in that person's local community were willing to use those and liked those, and those worked, then they would work. But there would be no monetary standardized system like the gold standard or like the dollar or whatever for all 50 states of the United States. For a territory this size, for a territory that size, to have one financial standard from a libertarian perspective is absolutely ridiculous. It's silly. But then again, Glenn Beck is silly. You don't have to believe in open borders to be a libertarian. And then, of course, right, we got to get the immigration thing on here. And then I love this one, the one under that, let me jump it, is being a libertarian doesn't make you selfish. No, Glenn. No, Glenn Beck. You know what makes you selfish? Being a statist. Believing that other people should be forced to behave the way you want them to behave. And if they don't behave that way, that they should be imprisoned. And if they resist imprisonment, they should be killed. That's what makes you selfish. And you, Glenn Beck, are a right-wing statist. Yes, you have a few libertarian ideas. Sure, yes, you are right about a few things. Yes, absolutely. Guess what? Adolf Hitler had some good ideas, and he was right about a couple of things also. You're a statist, Glenn. You, all your right-wing friends, all your left-wing enemies, you're all statist. You're the selfish people. Libertarians, true libertarians, anarcho-capitalists, who believe in the non-aggression principle and property rights, are not selfish. Okay, let's go back. You don't have to believe in open borders to be a libertarian. Throughout this book, there's a lot of, oh, we must close the borders. We must build a wall. We must keep the drug. There's a big chapter in here about the drug war, the war on drugs. Shocking and surprising, Glenn Beck supports the war on drugs. You know, and how we have to do something about it, blah, blah, blah. The solution, Mr. Beck, is very obvious. We legalize drugs. The cartels pretty much instantly go out of business because people can now just grow their own marijuana or manufacture their own acid. And if you could get marijuana or acid cheaply that you know is good, that pretty much eliminates the need for almost every other drug. There'd probably still be some people out there doing speed. But, you know, it'd be done. People would grow marijuana in their backyard. They'd have a friend who has a chemistry set and make some acid. Everything would be happy. And we'd be good. The cartels, the drug cartels that you're all worked up about. You know, and he puts out a lot of stuff about the cartels, how many people they've killed and all this other stuff. And I'm not disagreeing with any of that. It's all bad. The point is, you're not going to get rid of it, Glenn Becksway. You're not going to get rid of it by building walls and giving more money to the DEA to crack down on drug dealers. That's not how the problem is going to be solved. The problem will be solved by fucking legalizing it. I mean, nobody shoots each other for Denver Broncos knockoff football jerseys because it's legal for anybody to make a Denver Broncos knockoff football jersey. All right, I don't know about anybody. You'd probably be licensed by the NFL. But still, okay, there's nothing out there that's legally available and easy to get that people are killing each other for. Back to borders. Glenn Beck, like all neocons, makes this same argument. I'm not against immigrants coming to the United States of America. I'm just against illegal immigrants coming to the United States of America. This is the same cyclical argument, okay? We can't have illegal immigrants coming to America. Well, wait, why are they illegal? Well, because it's against the law for them to come here. Why is it against the law? Well, because they're illegal. You know, it's just like drugs. Well, drugs are bad. Why are drugs are bad? Well, because they're illegal. Well, why are they illegal? Well, because they're bad. Okay, so if we stop making them illegal, problem solved, right? Well, we can't have illegal immigrants coming here. Okay, instead of solving the problem by building giant walls along the border between Texas and Mexico, you know, and shooting people who try to come over from Mexico to get a fucking job because they're illegal. They're breaking the law, right? That's why they're illegal immigrants, because they're breaking the law coming here. Why don't we just get rid of the laws that say they can't come here? Because, see, it's just like with drugs. If we legalize drugs, everybody's going to run out. I mean, like the moment drugs are legalized, everybody's going to run out of their house and buy cocaine and snort cocaine up their nose, like up both nostrils, while they're shooting heroin into their vein and at the same time smoking a joint, and everybody's going to OD and die. That's why we can't legalize drugs. It's the same thing. If we just say, hey, open border, you want to come in? Come on in. Well, then, you know, the entire population of Mexico is going to rush into the United States. And of course, Glenn Beck does make one valid argument. Again, it's sick. It's, why can I not say the word? It feeds itself. It's a hysteresis cycle here. I can't say the word. I'm not going to try. She sells seashells by the seashore. Glenn Beck says, but if all these illegal immigrants, who all we have to do is not make it illegal anymore, and they're not illegal immigrants, all these illegal immigrants will come here and get on the welfare system, and we can't have that. Well, I agree, we can't. But again, the solution isn't to shoot people and build walls. The solution is to get rid of the welfare system. If there is no welfare system for illegal, I'm making little air quotes in the air, if there's no welfare system for the illegal immigrants to get on, they can't get on it. If there's no food stamps for the illegal immigrants to receive, they can't receive them. If there's no housing subsidies for the illegal immigrants to receive, then there's no housing subsidies for taxpayers to support. You don't eliminate this problem by building a wall and shooting people. You eliminate the, yeah. If you have a small child and you're worried about your small child drinking bleach, you don't build a wall around the child and shoot the child when he tries to climb over the wall. What you do is you take the bleach out of the bottom cabinet where the child can get to it, and you put it in a cabinet up in the air that has a lock on it. You take it away, or better yet, to make the analogy more relevant, you take the bleach out of the house. You get rid of it, okay? If you don't want illegal immigrants coming to America and getting on the welfare system, the solution is not building a wall and shooting at them. The solution is not making it illegal for them to come here and dismantling the welfare system. Problem fucking solved. Because I am absolutely not terrified of everybody from Mexico coming to America and they took our jobs and taken all of our jobs. I mean, fuck. It's just not going to go down that way, Glenn. Okay, I'm telling you, if you take down the wall. Yeah, I mean, and yes, again, these are not half measures. If we take down the wall and still have the welfare system, yeah, we're going to get flooded. Libertarian paradise, you take down the wall and you shut down the welfare system at the same time. The only incentive people from Mexico, because we all know that illegal immigrants in America only come from Mexico. Let's single out Mexico for this. you know, the only people who are going to come here from Mexico are people that are willing to come here and fucking work and add value and create value, which is what quote unquote America is supposed to be all about. The land of opportunity. All right, that's enough of that. Let's go on. What's my next criticism? Let's see. Israel, Goldstein did that. Reborn, I did that. Oh, then there's a significant amount in here. I'm not going to go into any of it about George Soros. He, for those of you who live under a rock and don't know who George Soros is, he is a billionaire who has done many things to manipulate the government and the state and the corporations. And he uses his money essentially to kill people. But it's okay because he's a Democrat. Glenn Beck talks about George Soros quite a bit. I don't know enough in details about George Soros to know how much of it is true, untrue, so forth, so on. But Soros is an individual worth checking into and watching out for. All right. Financial terrorism. Glenn Beck, being right wing, spends a lot of time talking about bin Laden and the terrorists and how they're going to bring us down, and of course how Muslims are a threat. And we all know my opinion of religions in general. As I've said before, all religious wackos are wackos. The fact that, you know, the Muslims are a little more wacko isn't that big of a deal to me. Glenn Beck talks about utilizing financial terrorism against the United States. And in a lot of these things, he's right. You know, the days where we only have to be concerned about... let me start this thought again. You know, back in the day, when you had to walk uphill 25 miles, you know, the Soviet Union was our enemy. And there were legitimate fears that the Soviet Union was going to use military force to, you know, invade and take over. It didn't happen, of course. I'm not going to say it was likely, but it was what I'd call a legitimate fear. You know, in the sense that if you have a house, I mean, it's a legitimate fear for you to think your house might catch on fire and burn down. That's why you buy fire insurance. It's not a legitimate fear for you to think that your house, at every given moment, like right now it could happen, is going to catch on fire and explode in a ball of flames. That's kind of how the threat from the Soviet Union was. It was there, but, you know, probability versus possibility. Financial terrorism, you know, fucking with our financial system to destroy the United States. Glenn Beck talks about that quite a bit in this book. And it's viable. It's a lot more likely. Anyhow, he talks about a book, which I have not read. I'm going to get this on my reading list also. It's called Unrestricted Warfare. And this is a quote from that book. And this book is, from what Glenn Beck says, like, this is the only knowledge I have of this book so far. It was written by a couple of Chinese individuals for the Chinese military to explain to them how to defeat the United States of America without having to come over here and shoot us, but to do it through financial systems. And like I said, I mean, this, you know, I think the days of countries invading each other with militaries is pretty much over with. When you see this happening, it's the small countries, it's the poor countries. Countries like Russia, China, United States, Great Britain, France, Germany, you know, it makes no sense to load up a bunch of paratroopers and tanks and shit and go to another country and try to militarily invade them by force when you can bring their country down by using computers and the internet. And that's where the United States of America is right now. Nobody is going to invade us with ground troops. What they are going to do is destroy our economy and our infrastructure with a computer virus. And I think it's very likely this is going to happen because it's not that hard to do. Well, all right, so let me read the quote. However, the Americans have not been able to get their act together in this area. This is because proposing a new concept of weapons does not require relying on the springboard of new technology. It just demands lucid and incisive thinking. However, this is not a strong point for Americans who are slaves to their technology in their thinking. And this is exactly right. The average American is a slave to technology. Without your iPhone and your iPad and your iBook, you have no fucking clue what's going on. And the state, our military-industrial complex, is exactly the same way. Our financial complex is tied to technology. I mean, think about how much money in this country exists, not in the form of gold or even dollar bills, but just as numbers in computers somewhere. You know, if you really want to bring the United States down, all you need is an electromagnetic pulse generator. You put it in the back of a truck, you drive it in the middle of New York City, and you blow the thing off, you fry every computer. I mean, the economy of this country will instantly almost, it may not totally collapse, but it will take a dive like you would never believe, because shit tons of money and financial transactions and records will just be gone in an instant. Because we are totally dependent upon technology. The average American cannot possibly, you know, envision. I mean, again, how many of you have experienced this? You go, oh God, I was in a bar the other day with some friends from the theater, and we go in there to order beers. And the girl says, we order our beers, and the girl says, well, but we can't pour any beers right now. Like, why not? She says, the computer is down. I mean, they could not fucking pour the beers and bring them to us because the computer was not working. The concept of writing down on a piece of paper and keeping track of what we ordered, and when the computer started working again, or even, God forbid, just fucking writing down what we ordered and then putting the prices next to it and doing some fucking math. She was completely incapable of this. We couldn't get a fucking beer poured because the computer wasn't working. This is a sad statement, and the people who wrote this book are exactly right. When China gets ready to invade the United States, they're not going to do it with troops. They're going to do it by unplugging our internet connections. And the people in this country are just going to fall down dead because they're not going to know what to do without Google. Page 126. Let me read this. This is Glenn Beck writing about himself. I was for it before I was against it, coming clean on the Patriot Act. In the wake of 9/11, most of us anticipated that another attack could come at any moment. We weren't thinking clearly. At least he admits it. Glenn, you're still not thinking clearly. We weren't thinking clearly. We were in shock. Though I had reservations about the Patriot Act, I thought it made sense at the time. The reservations I had, that it gave the chief executive way too many powers outside of the Constitution, were addressed by the sunset provisions, as well as the fact that I believed George W. Bush to be acting in the best interest of the country. In retrospect, it turned out to be a raw deal. I should have known better. The sunsets were dropped later on, and the act has been renewed every time it came up. Not to mention the fact that the act has been misused on numerous occasions. I believe it can do more harm than good, especially in the wrong hands, and it's definitely in the wrong hands, period. By the wrong hands, I assume he means Hussein Obama. By the wrong hands, I would mean the state. And you know, I love this. And of course, on the other hand, we have Obama, who, when the Patriot Act was in Congress, was being passed, Obama was against it. Now, of course, he's all in favor of it. He's renewed it every time it's come up. Let's see, right over here, let me read this. The power of one. In 2011, the Patriot Act was extended for 4 more years. The vote totals were 72-23 in the Senate and 250-153 in the House. President Obama signed it minutes before a midnight deadline. Wait. Oh, yes. President Obama signed it minutes before a midnight deadline would have caused it to expire. So Obama was against it when he was a senator, but now that he's president, he's in love with it. And here's what's interesting is, and this is exactly the same thing I've said about Obamacare. Everybody's, oh, Obamacare, so wonderful. Just you guys wait, okay? So here, Glenn Beck, oh yeah, Patriot Act, it's great. It's going to protect us, blah, blah, blah. It's going to expire. It's going to make sense. George Bush is our savior, blah, blah, blah. Then Obama's president, and Glenn Beck is like, oh, shit. this Patriot Act thing really sucks. Okay. All these fucking idiots. Oh, Obamacare. Oh, we're going to get free health care. Oh my God. That reminds me of a conversation I had that has nothing to do with this book. Hold on, I got to make a note. I got to remember that. It's an Obamacare conversation. All right. Liberals are all, oh, Obamacare. Oh, our savior. He's giving us free health care. We're saved. Blah, blah, blah. As I have said, just wait. And it's going to be a while because the Republicans, and I have not yet addressed Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is still going to be the next president. Okay, this prediction has not changed. Oh, Obamacare, we're saved. We have free health care, blah, blah, blah. Wait until the Republicans get control. You're going to be sitting there going, oh, wow, this Obamacare thing? We didn't know the Republicans would be able to use this to restrict our access to abortion. Why, we thought this was the greatest thing ever, and now we realize it's a mistake because the Republicans have control. It's coming. It's coming, people. Give it time. One day in the future, all those of you who are sucking Obamacare cock are going to be looking at this just like Glenn Beck is looking at the Patriot Act going, oh, what the fuck did I do? That was stupid. It's going to happen. You heard it here first. Ooh, where am I? Oh, yes. And then Glenn Beck makes the point. Makes the point about Homeland Security. As I've said before, we don't need a Department of Homeland Security. There was already a government organization which was supposed to protect the United States in the event of attack. It's called the military. And Glenn Beck makes the same criticism I've made. The Department of Homeland Security. It sounds like some Nazi organization. You know, you can hear Der Führer. We must protect the homeland on honor on ein und Jusen Haschen Heischisa. You know, I mean, what more fucking Nazi fascist socialist name for a government organization can you come up with? You know, how Orwellian. The Department of Homeland Security. Do you know any... And Glenn Beck makes this point. This is a good one. Do you know anybody? Have you ever in your life, ever, heard anybody refer to the United States as the homeland? I have never heard any... Whenever you say to me the words homeland, the first thing that comes into my mind is Nazi Germany. But then again, politicians don't actually know anything about history or the world or anything else. Randy, how are we on time? Yeah, I do. I don't think I want to make this a two-parter. The enduring consequences of 9/11. I was going to read these. Here's the summary. Because of 9/11 and because of the Patriot Act, Glenn Beck makes a list of things that happen. And that we're stuck with. Basically, courts running wild. Search and seizures that are quote-unquote illegal. Assassinations of people. TSA. Airport security. National security. Oh, I like this one. The National Security Agency, once tasked with monitoring communications abroad, which now focuses most of its efforts domestically. I mean, yeah, the NSA used to spy on people in other countries. Now, they're building that giant complex in, what is it, Utah, to spy on, to collect every email sent in the United States. That's on page 132. What do we got over here? 137, what am I supposed to be doing? Oh, wait, I'm on my second page of notes. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then Glenn Beck gets pissy with Ron Paul because of Ron Paul's comments about 9/11. And I'm paraphrasing, but Ron Paul said, hey, you know, 9/11, let's look at why they did this. They did this because we've been over there fucking around in their countries and mucking in their politics. And of course, this did not sit well with Glenn Beck. Oh no, how dare you? How dare you imply that the United States government has something to do with a terrorist attacking us? Why, we should be able to go to other countries and shoot people and fuck around in their politics and rig their elections. And we should be able to do this and have no consequences whatsoever. How dare Ron Paul insinuate that the United States, and by the United States, I mean the government of the United States, might somehow be responsible for this. And I think this is a perfectly common perspective held by the right wing, you know, that we were just innocently minding our own business, and those evil, nasty little Muslims, they hijacked those airplanes and they flew them into those buildings because they hate our freedom. I've talked about this more times than I need to, and so I'm not going to go into length on this fantasy that you neocons have, but no, they did not attack us because they hate freedom. They attacked us because we're attacking them, because we have military bases in their countries, and because we interfere with their political and economic systems. And we, the United States, would do the exact same thing if another country openly had military bases on our soil and was openly interfering with our economic systems and our political systems. It's called self-defense. It's a key component of the non-aggression principle. You do not have the right to initiate force or aggression against other people, but you can defend yourself when they initiate force or aggression against you. And to his credit, Glenn Beck does a bit in here about when Obama used a Predator drone to kill a 16-year-old kid because his father was a terrorist. So just remember, yes, Virginia, the Messiah does murder people in foreign countries with flying robots, and it doesn't matter that he passed healthcare reform. All right, page 140, what do I got over here? The War on Us All. He has a nice little chapter here where he talks about how the aftermath of 9/11 has resulted in a war against terrorism, which is ultimately directed at all of the American citizens. You know, as he puts it, a massive governmental and corporate security apparatus now operates in the shadows, outside of the law, and at tremendous expense to the United States taxpayer. The casual surveillance of innocent American citizens was once unthinkable. Now it's absolutely routine. And he's right about that. The Patriot Act, which he supported, helped to do this. George Bush. And Glenn Beck spends a lot of time in here ripping on Republican presidents for fucking up. There's a lot of stuff in here he gets right. You know, George Bush helped with all of this surveillance against Americans. Your Messiah, Hussein Obama, he has done nothing to slow this shit down. Glenn Beck talks about how the Messiah's administration is not transparent the way he promised it was going to be and all this other bullshit. So there's a lot going on there. Media, he's got some stuff on the media. He makes some good points about media bias. I know a lot of you who are left-wing statists think there is no political, social, economic, philosophical bias in the media. You're wrong. I love how when I cough, like on the other side of the studio, this microphone still picks it up. God, this microphone is great. I mean that in a good way. This thing picks up everything. All right. Wow. No, it's great because we're running out of time. So let me hit a couple of things real quick. Media bias. You know, Glenn Beck makes a good point. People in the media aren't necessarily biased because they want to be biased. It's because they have different perspectives. He talks about how, you know, if you are a country bumpkin, and this is me paraphrasing, he doesn't actually say country bumpkin. I'll say country bumpkin because I came from a small town of 2,000 people. So it's like, I come from a small town of 2,000 people. If I go to New York City, and I'm there, just got off the airplane, whatever, I'm in the middle of New York City, and things are happening around me, I have no context to put those things in, other than my context of coming from a town of 2,000 people. So I will see things that to me are out of the ordinary, but for New York, they're perfectly ordinary. And his point is, a lot of, most of the people who go into the media, who are journalists, they have this sort of same thing. It's like, as he says, how can you accurately report about the military if you've never been in the military, if you don't know anything about the military? You know, how, if you come from a small town and you've never seen gang shootings, what context do you put a gang shooting into? He tells a story about, I want to say it's Peggy Noonan, who, when she first started off, she was writing a column, and she's talking about how, oh, it's Sunday morning, and I know most of you are going to be sitting around drinking coffee and reading the newspaper, and one of the older reporters corrects her and says, no, it's Sunday morning, most people are going to be at church. And this isn't about who's right and wrong. This is about the fact that she had no context to understand that, yeah, on Sunday morning, back in the day when this was happening, most people, quote-unquote most people, were at church, not sitting around the house. And that's the thing. Like, if you're an atheist like me, I mean, how do you put things about religion into context? This is why, you know, I read books by people who are defending religion. This is why I don't... This is why you have to read things by other people, like, for example, Glenn Beck. This is why I just read a book by Glenn Beck, so that when I hear neocons and Republicans trying to call themselves libertarians saying bullshit, I have more information to put it into a context and understand it. This is why I'm smarter than you. Speaking of religion, he talks about the Muhammad Jesus thing, where a guy dressed up as Muhammad Jesus. Muhammad Zombie Muhammad, where a guy dressed up as Muhammad as a zombie, and a court... Anyway, just look for Zombie Muhammad, because we're running out of time. He also rips on the education system. No surprise there. Glenn Beck's solution to the education problem is the same as mine. Fire all the teachers. Shut down all the public schools. Get rid of the unions. There's a great... All right, Randy, I got to see if I can get this in. See, before you start mocking somebody else's religion. Oh, no, we're not going to get it in. All right, hold it. We're going to have to extend. Well, Randy's saying no, she needs to go to church. I cannot extend stating the obvious. No, I can't. This is my show. I can extend this anytime I want. Go ahead and play the outro music at the appointed time. God forbid, we don't want any, you know, anything different. That's fine. After the outro music, I have to read this quote. I have to. It's just a so hang in there. After the music, I'm going to be back. And I'm going to finish it up really fast. Why should you bother? I don't bother with the other. What do you mean? Again, here I am, an entire podcast episode devoted to somebody that I disagree with. I said, oh, you great one. You're an asshole. You think you're right, oh, you never think of anything. You get a closed mind. You're racist, sexist, and homophobic. Or if you're a right-wing state, you hate freedom. No, unlike those of you who are a statist, I just don't hate thinking for myself. I know it's hard to do. It's really fucking hard. I think it was Henry Ford who said if thinking was easy, more people would do it. And it's true. I mean, you people don't fucking think because you can't fucking think. What you have Google for. Google fucking reads your maps for you. It gives you driving directions because you can't read a fucking map on your own and figure out how to get from point A to point B. You can't figure out how to pour a fucking beer without the computer. Oh, we can't pour your beer because the computer is down. Yeah, I mean, if the terrorists take down the internet because they hate our freedom, everybody will starve to death because nobody will remember how to prepare food because you can't go on the internet to find a fucking coupon. You can't go on the internet to find a recipe for how to cook a fucking hamburger patty. Okay. What else is in here? Okay, he also talks about how the upcoming future, see, okay, I have to say this too. Glenn Beck talks about people in who futurist predictions about, and he's talking about how, look, things are going to get really good in the future. For example, this one guy is predicting in the future that there will be nanobots who will put these nanobots in your body. They'll go around your body. They'll fix things. Fix things as in cure diseases, fight infections, all this other stuff. Yeah, you know, this is the sort of thing that is not going to happen. Here's why. Imagine somebody invents a nanobot. I know this is not the quote. You just sit down in there, Missy. go get me another cup of coffee. Yeah. Okay. The idea is there are going to be nanobots. You're going to put these in your body. They're going to do this. Here's why this will be made illegal by the government. The state just passed Obamacare. Obamacare is a multi-billion dollar bailout for health insurance corporations. Obamacare is going to channel shit tons of money into the pharmaceutical corporations. The pharmaceutical corporations make shit tons of money from people being sick. If somebody invents a nanobot that goes in your body and operates on its own and cures illnesses and fights infections and diseases, Obamacare is now irrelevant. The pharmaceutical corporations lose shit tons of money. This is why the pharmaceutical corporations are going to make goddamn sure marijuana doesn't become legal everywhere. Because you can pay hundreds and thousands of dollars for painkillers from the pharmaceutical corporations, or you can take three hits off of a joint from a plant that you grew in your backyard. Okay, this stuff, these nanobots, they are not going to happen as long as the state is in power. Okay? It's not going to happen because the state, the corporations, will lose too much money. The government will lose too much power. The government is about to be taking control of the healthcare system. If you have nanobots that fix what's wrong inside of you, that fix diseases and fight infections and do all this stuff, you don't need to go be part of the healthcare system. If you are not part of the healthcare system, the government loses control of you. The corporations lose money. These nanobots, when they are invented, and they will be made illegal because they will be dangerous to the state. They will be dangerous to the government. They will be dangerous to the corporations. It's not going to fucking happen. All right, let me read this quote. This is in the chapter about education. For those of you who don't know, I hate the public education system. I hate everything about it, and I especially hate the teachers' unions, and people who teach in schools are some of the dumbest people. All right, wait, I have to read one more. Randy, sit down. It's on page 222. Let me find that. There it is. Before I read the teacher's quote, listen to this. This is from the book. Finland? Really? Finland's education system is famously effective. Why? Not because they pay more than we do. We actually spend one-third more per pupil than Finland. It's about teacher quality and work ethic. Teachers are only selected from the top 10% of graduates of the Masters in Education's program, and students there receive specialized attention and keep longer school hours. Finland doesn't start teaching kids until age 7, and they don't focus on homework. Instead, they focus on student learning and ensuring that students spend enough time learning to achieve their goals. There are, of course, a lot of differences between the United States and Finland, but it would be nice to focus on the students instead of the teachers and their unions for a while. And there it is. Their teachers come from the top 10%. Remember, in the United States, our teachers come from the bottom 20%. Don't believe me? Do a little research. There's this thing called the internet. You're completely dependent on it. Use it to research that statement that I just made. Now, here's the quote that we have to hold over for. Here's the quote that's pissing Randy off. As soon as I read this, she's going to turn off the equipment and run out the door to get me another cup of coffee. All right. Oh, by the way, if you want to send us any feedback here, I'm just doing this to piss you off. If you want to send us any feedback, the email address is God, that's G-O-D, dog spelled backwards, God, at C-Y-N-L-I-B-S-O-C.com. All right. This is... In 2009, Bob Chanin, I may be mispronouncing that name, C-H-A-N-I-N, the former top lawyer for the National Education Association, America's biggest teachers union, spoke at the NEA's annual meeting about why union members support them. Now, if you're one of these fucking public education humpers and you think the teachers are wonderful and the teachers' unions are wonderful and all this other shit, if this piece of brilliance does not illustrate to you just how little the education system and the teachers union give a shit about your children, then nothing will, and you're too stupid for me to ever talk to. Here we go. NEA and its affiliates are effective advocates because we have power. And we have power because there are more than 3.2 million people who are willing to pay us hundreds of millions of dollars in dues each year because they believe that we are the unions that can most effectively represent them. The unions that can protect their rights and advance their interest as education employees. This is not to say that the concern of NEA and its affiliates with closing achievement gaps, reducing dropout rates, improving teacher quality, and the like are unimportant or inappropriate. To the contrary, these are the goals that guide the work we do. But they need not and must not be achieved at the expense of due process, employee rights, and collective bargaining. That is simply too high a price to pay. So you see, the education of your children, it's important to the unions, but it's not more important than money. It's not more important than, quote, due process, employee rights, and collective bargaining. If you really think the education system in this country, the public education system, gives a shit about your children, you can only possibly believe that if you've been to college, because that is one of the things that only somebody with a college education can be stupid enough to believe. What? No, I could be done. I could be done. And I love you too, Randy. All right, let's do it. Stop. We're out.